It's kind of a nice opium den feeling in here in the evening. Red low lights. Everybody's all kind of mellow. I've never been in an opium den actually, but I've seen one in the movies. In the Metta Sutta, the core teachings from the Buddha on developing an attitude of kindness, the heart-mind quality of friendliness. One of the ways that metta is translated is unconditional friendliness. Or loving kindness. The core meditation instruction is, he says, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, may all beings be at ease. I think it's very important for us to understand what it means to be at ease before we can actually attain it. This, you know, like the first factor of the Eightfold Path, appropriate understanding, having the appropriate definition or the wise understanding or definition of something like being at ease. You could translate this also as peace. May all beings be at peace. Or in meditation, Buddhist circles, there's quite a bit of talk about being at peace, being peaceful, being at ease. I know in my own early practice, I had a lot of confusion about what that meant. I was very confused about what it meant to be peaceful or to be at ease or to wish for people to be at peace or to be at ease. I think I thought, and I think most people think, that peace or ease means an absence of difficulties. Like even the definition of peace, like peace on earth. With this definition of that means there's no war. Peace means an absence of war. Or ease means an absence of, right, the opposite of ease is difficult. Is it easy or is it difficult? I know for myself, I'm really committed to staying in reality and having a practice that is realistic, that is attainable, that is not a fantasy practice like wishing for peace, like the absence of, or wishing for ease, like the absence of difficulty or the absence of conflict or the absence of, it's just not what the Buddha was talking about. It's just not what we're wishing for. May all beings be at ease, or if we really bring it in, and I think on retreat, maybe better to just bring it into ourselves. May I be at ease. is not a wish for may it be easy, may there be an absence of difficulties. That's not the. It's not an appropriate wish. That's not an appropriate expectation. May it be easy. No. Clearly, what we are training our mind and heart to do is to be at ease with what's happening right now. To be at ease in the midst of this mind that can be so unpleasant to live with. This body that can be so uncomfortable to live in. I'm not waiting for comfort and a quiet mind to be at ease. We don't want our ease to be dependent on circumstances, dependent on conditions. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may I be at ease, is the wish, is the practice, is the training of the mind to accept this moment just as it is. And to be at ease with it. And a lot of time there's also more than just may I accept it and be at ease with it. There's sometimes there's an action necessary. May I respond in a wise way? May I respond with compassion, or may I respond with appreciation? That's part of, in order to be at ease in the midst of pain, compassion has to be uncovered. In order to be at ease in the midst of pleasure, we can't cling to it. As soon as we cling, as soon as attachment, as soon as we meet pleasure with attachment, we're no longer at ease. Now we're stressed out. Now we're tight. Now we're creating suffering again around even the pleasant moments. The Buddha talked about coming into a balanced relationship to the rising and falling, the arising and passing of the different mind states that we experience, both the wholesome, the unwholesome, both the pleasant and the unpleasant. Then in order to be at ease in this world, in this human condition, we have to break our addiction to things being a certain way, feeling a certain way. One of the ways he spoke about it was talking about what's called the eight vicissitudes, or these four pairs of opposites or of balance. And it is pleasure and pain, gain and loss, praise and blame, and fame or positive attention, and disrepute or being judged. Sometimes this is spoken about in an external way as the worldly winds of living in this world. But being on retreat, you see more and more clearly how the whole world is right here in you. You've brought it with you. And the mind is doing this praising and blaming. And the body is doing this experiencing pleasure and pain. And the gain and loss. Being a part of our moment-to-moment meditative experience. It's part of what we're paying attention to, the rise and fall of pleasant sensations. And of course, this is a big part of our practice, sitting with the unpleasant physical, emotional, and today as we open the instructions, mental activity. Pablo's so skillfully speaking about this morning, the unwholesome mind states. This is what it's like. When my mind is filled with anger, this is what it feels like in my body. This is painful. This is when met with pain, when we meet pain with resistance, with judgment, with fear, with aversion, then we, this level of dukkha, of suffering. But when we meet pain with acceptance, right now it really hurts. When we meet it with tolerance, I can tolerate this hurt. It's just pain in my back, in my knee, my ass, in my heart, or my head. We can actually be at ease with the pain. May I be at ease with this really uncomfortable experience. May I meet it with loving kindness, with friendliness. And I like friendliness because it is, especially when we're not very good at it. I know in the beginning when I heard these, meet your pain with compassion, I was like, I don't know how to do that. I'm not even sure it's possible. But maybe it's possible, but I don't know how to do it. But when using friendliness, I have some sense of what it is to be a good friend. Some inkling of what it would be like to be a really good friend to somebody when they were in pain. And the kind of friend that's not trying to get rid of their pain, but just to be able to be present with them in their pain. Knowing there's not much I can do for you other than just care about you and pay attention to you and hang out with you. Friendliness towards our own pain. May I be at ease in the midst of this body, this painful body. And of course, it's not painful all of the time. But a lot of the time on retreat, right, the sort of, we know that this is a setup for pain. We've all done lots of retreats. We know sitting all of these hours, the body hurts. It aches. And if physical pain isn't a big part of your experience, then emotional pain at times, the heart aches, the psychological pain, you know, the history, the old resentments, the old fights that we bring with us. How many arguments have you had this week with people who aren't here? One more thing about why I'm right. And the mind just, you know, it's so painful to be right. Even to be right, it's so painful to be attached to that view and having that argument and that resentment. May I be at ease with all of the pain of this human condition, physical, emotional, mental pain and anguish. We're not waiting for it to go away to be at ease. This is not the teaching. The teaching isn't you're going to be all comfortable and then you can be happy. The practice, the training, the loving kindness is may I be at ease in the midst of this really unpleasant experience. When it's unpleasant, right? And that's not always the case. Sometimes it's equally, and for some of us, even more difficult to be at ease, to be friendly towards our pleasure. Those moments when the body is feeling either comfortable or sometimes in meditation, it's not just dukkha, sukha, this experience of having joy arise in your body, spiritual, incredibly pleasant sensations can come sometimes. May I be at ease in the midst of that. Sometimes it gets to be too much. If we cling to it, as I said, of course, we ruin it. As soon as we get attached, or it passes, or sometimes you have spent, how much of your time do you spend if you've had a really pleasant meditation at some point in your life? That really pleasant meditation you had in 76, or 86, or 96, or, you know, or at 8 a.m. this morning. Craving for more of that, trying to recreate it, clinging to an experience that's gone. Attachment, craving, clinging. May I be at ease with the fact that pleasure is impermanent. Even spiritual experiences are impermanent. Of course, it's quite good that we can have enjoyable experiences. If it was all painful all of the time, we wouldn't keep doing it. Sometimes there is wonderful, pleasurable experiences that happen in our practice. And it's a good thing. But it's a practice to be at ease with it, to not cling to it. To have non-attached appreciation is a friendly thing. Non-attachment is an act of friendliness. And again, this metta as friendliness towards oneself or others. You've all had that friend, or maybe been that friend, who's a little too clingy. Who you really like them, and they really like you, but they don't quite let you be yourself. They have to be a little over-involved. That's no fun. You want a friend that lets you be you. You want to be the kind of friend that allows your friends to have their own opinions and have their own desire systems and have their own ideas. And having this attitude of friendliness, non-attached, non-clinginess towards our own pleasure. May I be at ease with this impermanent, enjoyable process. Although I haven't heard much of it reported yet in this retreat, sometimes actually, you know, some pleasant experiences are best in small doses. Like you don't, sometimes there's this experience of kundalini that can happen in what we call kundalini experiences. They're like this overwhelming, very intense, and in a small dose it might have been pleasurable, but it's too much. It's like a 48-hour orgasm. You don't want to orgasm for 48 hours. It's only fun for a couple minutes. And then it's like, is this going to end? And then I can't, you know, this is too much. This is too much. Too much pleasure. And sometimes that's happening and you're flooded with joy, and it's almost like a manic, may I be at ease with this, even if it feels too much. I know in my early practice, I wasn't very good at experiencing happiness or kindness. It didn't fit with my image, my self-image. And when I'd get some tastes of freedom, it was hard to tolerate it. I didn't know how to enjoy being at ease. I didn't know how to enjoy. I was very identified with being unhappy. And so sometimes just tolerating the joy when it comes is quite challenging. As we open the instructions to watching our mind, I feel like this praise and blame constantly. Don't you see that in your mind? One moment we're congratulating ourselves. This is always a funny thing that happens in meditation, where you start congratulating yourself for not thinking. I'm doing pretty good at this. I haven't had a thought in quite a while. Might be getting close to liberation. Oh, wait, is this thinking? No, but this is the good kind of thinking. This is like wisdom thoughts. Maybe I should write a note to the teachers. Is it okay to think wisdom thoughts? Starting with this sort of praise, like I'm pretty good at this. I nailed that last meditation, man. 45 minutes, no problem. Got it. I'm probably the best meditator here. People are pretty sloppy. See a lot of bad posture. Fast eaters. Those people that walk really slow, they don't know that you don't have to walk so slow. Really good at this. Or the opposite, and I think most of us experience more of the opposite than that sort of inflated sense of, but even that may, when your mind gets inflated, when you're, may I be at ease with this? Self-congratulatory thought. With this inner praise. May I accept it? May I be at ease with it? May I not take it personally? It's just praise. It's just me patting myself on the back. Or the blame. The judging mind kicking in. I'm the worst. I don't know how to do this. Doubt, the hindrance of doubt. I can't do this. Judging mind, comparing mind. Everybody's better than me. Everybody is I think everybody's happy here except for me. I don't understand these instructions. I don't know how to sit. All of that critical mind, blaming mind. It's not going away. May I be at ease with this very confused, critical, comparing mind that we have to live with. Don't wait for your mind to stop judging to be happy. To be friendly towards that poor, confused part of your mind that still doesn't know its own worth. May I be at ease, even with this judging mind, with this blame. May I meet it with forgiveness. May I meet it with friendliness and love. This wounded heart. This scared, fragile mind. May I be at ease with this human mind. Not waiting for it to shut up for me to be happy, but being happy with it as it is. loving kindness towards the confused parts of our mind, towards the praising inflation, or towards the criticizing deflation. I mean, of course, ultimately, it's about not taking it personal. You sit enough meditation, you see, this mind has a mind of its own. It does whatever it wants. I told my mind to shut up 3 days ago. It's anarchy in here. I thought I was in charge. But we do have the capacity. We can't control our minds, obviously. But we can have a wise response to this mind that we can't control. We can choose whether or not we pay attention to it, whether how identified with it, and we can meet it with loving kindness, with friendliness. There's the story of, it's in the suttas somewhere, it's a Theravadin story, told in different ways, about how there's this little kind of evil, I always picture it as like an evil gnome, but it's some sort of like little evil deity that goes and sits in Brahma, the kind of Indian, the creator, this god. And he goes and he sits in the chair, and all of the, and Brahma's gone out to lunch somewhere. You know, God's usually out to lunch somewhere. God is lunching, you know, with, playing poker, so I don't know, he's somewhere. And everybody's trying to get him out, and they're like, get out of Brahma's chair, you little gnome, stupid jerk. And every time they insult, it kind of grows and grows. And the mean, and this is a gnome that feeds on hatred, feeds on, grows and stronger and stronger. And the more unkindness that comes towards this little guy, he's becoming bigger and bigger and bigger and, oh, you know, huge. And so finally they go get the Buddha. Like, the Buddha will know what to do. And, you know, in this mythological story, and the Buddha comes. He says, okay, yeah, I can help you guys out. I know God's out to lunch. He's always out to lunch. The Buddha will help you out. And the Buddha comes in and he starts just being friendly. You look good in the throne. I think actually you look better than Brahma. Fits you really well. I love your warts. You're covered in warts, so lovely. And just being friendly and kind, and with each kindness, shrinking, 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 taking all of the power out of this. And this is what we're dealing with, right? When we meet our mind, ourselves, with hatred, it gets bigger, the suffering increases. When we meet it with kindness, it decreases, it becomes manageable. Our pain, our pleasure, the praising mind, the blaming mind. May I be at ease with gain and loss. May I be at ease with loss, with the fact that every moment is impermanent, every relationship will end, everyone that I know is dying. I'm dying, everyone. This impermanent realm of existence. We're all in hospice. Jordan told me a joke the other day. Vinny claims to have made it up, but I heard it from Jordan. So why did the Buddhist coroner get fired? Because he insisted on saying the cause of death was always birth. Insisted on naming the cause of death as birth. May I be at ease with loss. It doesn't mean I'm not going to be sad. It doesn't mean we're not going to experience the appropriate grief. It's appropriate to experience grief and sadness around loss, but we don't have to cling and suffer more than necessary. It's hard enough to live with loss already when you hate it, when you deny it, when you make up the story that this shouldn't be happening. Then it's really suffering. May I be at ease with it. Sometimes loss is good news too, right? Impermanence, like when you're having a really painful moment in your meditation, it will pass. Let that bring some ease into your knowing of impermanence. It will pass. Loss, good news. Some of the time. And may I be at ease with gain sometimes. We're having experiences, we're gaining experiences that we don't want to gain. The first noble truth, the Buddha talks about suffering as being joined with the unlovable, being connected to gaining, having unlovable, you know, experiences that are just painful, hard, difficult. When you meet those with hatred, suffer. May I be at ease with what's happening, with what's coming and what's going, with the pleasure and the pain, with the fact that some people love us and some people don't love us, the praise or the fame and disrepute. May I be at ease. So this is a very important aspect of loving kindness. Friendliness towards every aspect of our being, all the pleasure, be friendly towards it. The friendliest thing you can do towards pleasure is not cling to it. Non-attached appreciation. The friendliest thing you can do towards pain is to tolerate it, accept it, the unavoidable pain. It's not all, you know, of course we're not talking about becoming some sort of masochist, like seeking pain. But this experience is filled with unpleasant. Meet it with compassion as much as you can. Just softening into it is an act of compassion. Just not pushing it away, just not hating it is an act of compassion. As much as we can. The humility is an important part of this whole process of knowing that we can't do it perfectly, that we're going to fail over and over. But persevering as an act of friendliness. As an act of love and kindness, may I be at ease with this mind, this heart, this body, and this world the way that it is. Of course, we're acting for positive change. We want to heal. We want to awaken. We want to create a positive change in this world. We want to help people. We want to be part of the solution, compassionately engaged. But from a foundation of ease, not from a foundation of hatred, not from a foundation of delusional hope, but from a grounded place of ease and well-being with it as it is, while continuing out of compassion to be motivated to create a positive change. We don't have to think about the world right now. Just know that it's all here in us, right here, right now. The more we can radiate loving kindness towards ourselves, the more we will be a force of loving kindness in this world.